Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, and Chris Woodward is in. Fred had enough of us and went back to his office.
Yeah,
and Chris is taking
his place.
Brushing
up on his Gaelic for yes. people that watch the first hour.
And Ray is with us, Ray Pritchard from Kansas City. So what's you Gaelic? Is I failed to ask him. That's a language separate from. That's not Scottish English, right?
I'm not sure. I've always right, thought of it separate. As like the Cajun of Scottish, but I'm not sure.
What do you know about that, Ray?
Not much. I'm still waiting to see Fred break out with the Scottish dancing.
Yeah. And he draws
Where's the time to dance.
He draws a line at kilts. Fred does, he said, as far as his family.
You know, all I can tell you about Gaelic is it is a language brought from Ireland in the 5th and 6th centuries and spoken in the highlands and islands of western Scotland, reading it directly from the internet. That's all I know.
Okay.
Well, you know, go ahead.
Well, I saw a special one time. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this before, but if you do a radio program every day for years and years, you're going to repeat yourself some, aren't you, Chris, don't you think?
Yes.
Chris, don't you think?
Yes.
I think.
Chris, have to think about that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it is.
Chris, don't you think?
Yes.
You're going to repeat yourself, Chris, don't
I
you
concur.
Think?
I concur.
Anyway, and I was Ray, I was watching a special, and these you guys too, here, and it was on, they were doing a special on different areas of the United States and the influence, you know, the heritage of those places. And they were talking about the American South, and I was very interested in that mm-hmm. because I am from the American South. But they were talking about back in the 1700s and so forth, in 1800s, the immigrants from Scotland that came over to the Carolinas, and then they went from the Carolinas inland to Georgia and Tennessee and mm-hmm. Alabama and Mississippi and all the way to Texas. And but they were saying that they were what they were doing. It was very interesting. They were using words that were spoken in Scotland, and they were saying this is how the American Southern quote accent was developed, because a lot of the words that were pronounced in the American South were very similar to the way that the words are pronounced in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I thought that was very interesting. Because you do wonder how
it makes us feel better about things.
I guess so.
It's not our fault.
Then we just shred.
That's right. That's right.
So we just shred
that's
the King's
exactly
English.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a that's reason right. we shred the King's English is because we're from Scotland.
Scotland. We're
Scottish, don't we don't recognize the crown.
That's right. Right. That's we got a beef anyway.
So we'll talk how we yeah. want to. We'll talk how we want to, even if nobody else
good.
Can understand us.
That's right. We speak real good.
Anyway, and you know the people in the Upper Midwest, they carry a lot of the Scandinavian heritage, right? Ray?
Mm-hmm. Right. Plus you have Polish and you have Hungarian. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of the Eastern European,
yeah.
you know, in Chicago,
which
is sort of a European melting pot.
Right.
So, you know, you've got the Hungarian, you've got the Polish, you've
yes.
got Czech and Scandinavian. So mm-hmm. Out of it comes that very distinctive Midwestern accent.
Right.
And you go up to Minnesota,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, Swedish.
Yeah,
oh,
Jan
yeah.
on a minute ago. Now, she's
yeah.
a Jewish person by ethnicity, but
yeah.
she has the same accent as Michelle Bachman or people up
yeah.
there.
I used to enjoy listening to Garrison Keillor.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was a liberal, but he had that, was it Lake Wobegon or what was the name
Lake
of that?
Lake Wobegon, yeah.
Yeah, but he, you know, he uses a lot of the Midwestern Scandinavian historical influence there in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota. Anyway, I'm always interested in, well, cultural things having to do with peoples, America and internationally.
Right.
I enjoy. If I could have another job, I would do the travel in the world where you, you know, study different
mm-hmm.
and look at different cultures and foods and everything like that. I found those shows on TV very, very interesting. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. I got to tell you one thing: I've overcome, fellas, a phobia.
Yeah.
Okay. I know this matters not to anybody but me, but
oh, we care.
I've got to tell somebody when you overcome a phobia, you need to tell somebody.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a a marker in your life. I've had a phobia over the years of the self-checkout at the grocery store. Huh? Am I the only one? I go by there, and I've gone by there, and I don't even want to look over.
I don't want to touch it, right?
You know what I'm talking about, Ray?
Because if you mess it up,
yes.
Everybody knows, and they got to call the person over, and you're pointed out, you know. Yeah.
Right.
No, I don't.
So I've over the years just gone to the – even if I got to stand in line. And the self-checkout is open. I'm not going over there. Especially if I'm by myself. Man, my wife, she'll do that. But I don't even like going over there when she's there. Because that thing.
You just don't know what's going to happen. Something could happen.
You mess up. And the computer lady starts yelling at you. Right there. Mm-hmm. In front of everybody. Put it back on. People are looking at you. Yeah. So.
That's right. Put it back on. That's right.
Put it back on.
So you overcame this?
I did overcome this. Wow. Last night, for the second time in like 2 weeks, I went in there by myself, got five or six items, checked out, hit the right buttons.
Nobody yelled at you?
Put the cash in,
Nobody yelled at
you? The computer lady didn't yell at me because I followed instructions and did everything right. But of course, they do have the people standing by in case you make a mistake. They'll come over there and help you. But anyway, I just thought that was a major 55 years
it's
old.
It's a big moment. It's a big moment, Tim.
If you've
right. you, it's a milestone.
People can laugh if they want to, but if I don't laugh at it, we all have our phobias, and that's one I have overcome, Chris.
I'm scared of sneezing while I drive. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Really?
Terrified.
Wow. What happens? Your eyes close?
Well, I mean, there's no way you can keep your eyes open when you sneeze. And here's the funny thing. I am
going to make fun of that one.
Well, here's what's funny. Here's what's funnier about it. More funnier. I never told anybody that. And I worked in television in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And there was an accident one day on one of the interstates there in the Birmingham area. And come to find out, the person that was driving sneezed behind the wheel.
Seriously.
And that's what caused the accident. And I thought I'm not as crazy as I thought.
Wow. No, you're not as crazy as you thought. But you're
my
close.
Eyes close when I sneeze, but it's like a split second.
Yeah.
So
the wreck happened in that split second.
A wreck happened in that split
second. I got to tell you, that's a new phobia. I haven't heard of that one before.
Well, it's important to tell somebody, as you said.
Yeah, confession's good for the soul.
Doing what my president tells me.
What do you got?
All right. When you get segueing into a grocery store related situation here, when you guys go to the grocery store, do you prefer paper or plastic if you even have the option?
They don't even use paper where I go anymore.
You mean like paper plates or plastic plates?
Bags.
You mean bags?
People use. You mean there's people?
Nobody's
use paper
asked
bags?
Me for paper bags.
There are still some stores, maybe not the big chains,
holding
but
out.
There are still some stores. That
I prefer the
out.
Plastic. They seem they. If you get
they have
liquids,
the handles.
They have the handles, and if you get liquids in them, they don't start tearing.
Here's the reason I ask. Kroger is ditching plastic bags by 2025, the company says. Kroger is the largest.
I go to Kroger in favor of what?
They're going to, they want to start phasing in the reusable bags that they want people to use so that way
reusable
it will cut down
what?
Plastic and things
oh,
like that.
Oh, you mean like like one of those cloth carrying bags? You bring your bag with you,
and then you bag your own groceries, basically.
For what reason? Why are they doing this?
Well, plastic, for lack of better, is kind of become the new tobacco. It's something people want to cut down on because they say it's going to end up in a landfill. It's using petroleum. Insert environmental reason here. But it's a big deal. People are going to be talking about it from now for the next couple of days for sure because Kroger is one of the largest, if not the largest, grocery store chain in the U.S. It's going to begin in Seattle, which is already anti-plastic everything. We've had a lot of cities in recent days.
Is that true, though? Is it true that plastic is bad for the environment? I don't know.
People would say it is.
I've read a little bit about this, so that's the only reason I can act like I know what I'm talking about.
Okay, you go.
But I think what's happening is you have this whole, there's been this whole recycle movement where you got the recycle bins and all that, and these college campuses got one trash can for trash and then the other one's for plastics.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is all these programs are incentivized by the government. Well, what's happening is the actual plastic that we're quote recycling is actually not being recycled because it costs too much money to recycle it, and you get a small fraction of it that actually works to be recycled. So what they're doing is they're selling it to these foreign companies and these foreign agencies, and they're dumping it in the ocean. Literally, they're dumping it in the ocean. And so next time you think you're, you know, doing your recycle bin, you're being a good steward, it's not always necessarily being recycled. And so that's the problem. Now we got these big piles of plastic in the ocean, and it's been people have been handling it wrong. So that's why we're assessing this issue.
Yeah. So Walker, are you suggesting we should just take everything and throw it in the trash can?
That's what I do because it goes in a landfill, which is
what I do too.
Is environmentally controlled by the EPA and others. And they do it in a way that protects the environment, right. and it degrades, etc.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, when you do burn plastic, you have a fume that comes up.
Yeah.
I've noticed, but I don't burn plastic very often. But you do notice that, and I just wonder maybe so no more plastic for Kroger
by 2025.
And we're going to have what kind of bags again? Cloth bags?
They want people to start using the cloth bags. But here's the thing. Whatever people are going to use, that's going to have a carbon footprint, an environmental impact. You're going to have to manufacture those things.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put something into the atmosphere by making whatever bag you're going to have people to use. And you know people are going to use
You're telling me now when I go to the self-checkout stand to get
that's
my groceries.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to have to use cloth bags.
You got to bring them with you from home, Tim.
In the next 10 years.
Oh, man. That's another thing to have to think about.
But, this does go back to one of those things where the consumers are having to be punished, if you will, or have to change the way they do things because the big companies aren't doing things the way they're supposed to. These companies that are these, quote, recycling companies that are selling the plastic are shipping the plastic overseas because they don't have the same EPA standards. I mean, they should have to answer for this. Mm-hmm. Why they're allowing these foreign governments to dump plastic into the ocean?
Who does this? Where'd you read this?
It does happen
it's in Asia. They send it over to China. Mm-hmm. For example, let's just say you got a waste.
I mean, that
company.
Plastic bottle you have right here could end up. Yes. You throw it in the garbage and it ends up in
There's
China.
There's actually an Here's island of happens. Trash out there.
Here's what happens. Let's say you got. That. Let's. Yeah. I'm not going to name companies, but let's just say you got this waste company. And they're under this government grant program that if they recycle X amount of plastic, they get this money. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they collect plastic for recycling purposes. Well, what they realize after they collect it and get all the money in is that it costs too much to actually recycle it and reuse it. So what they do is they put it on a ship and they ship it to another country that doesn't have the same standards and laws as we do, and they dump it in the ocean.
Yeah.
Or they dump it somewhere.
Well, there is a... I've read about the problem with that in the Caribbean, too. And you mentioned this this garbage pile out in the Pacific that's out there. Anyway, what's next, Chris?
Well, keeping it in the business sector, Walker and myself, we both have children, young children.
I have children, too.
Well, here's why I bring up our kids.
Okay.
Our kids are undoubtedly going to grow up in an America that does not have a Sears and a Kmart. The reason I'm saying that is because those two companies, which are one company, Sears, Kmart, continue to have problems. They're closing stores left and right. There's another announcement today, another 46 Sears and Kmart stores closing. Here's the company says it will continue to evaluate its network of stores and make further adjustments as needed, raising the very direct or distinct possibility of additional closures as the company continues reeling. I can read the list of stores in these states if you want me to.
You know, Sears is a name brand that's been around for 100 years, I guess.
Do you remember, Tim, how exciting it was when the big Sears catalog would come?
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember that. I mean, it was...
When it was Sears and Roebuck? It was Sears and Roebuck for a while.
Yes. And the big catalog. I mean, it was like four or 5 inches thick, you know. And this is way before the internet, right? Mm-hmm. Way before cell phones, way before all this technology. So it just hit me like the Sears and Roebuck catalog back in the day. It was like the internet of... It's like Amazon. Yeah. You know, the closest thing to Amazon back in the day was that. And... If you wanted anything, your first step was go to the catalog and order it. Mm-hmm. But, boy, those days are long gone.
Yeah, you know, We have a Sears here in our hometown, and I just don't see very many people.
It did not make this list, though. It never makes these lists. I know a guy that works for a secular news outfit here in the town in which AFA is based, and I kind of have joked with him. I'm like, you need to go interview the managers and ask, what are you doing right? Because they never make this list.
Some of these cities are growing, like Tupelo's a growing city, so it may actually get some business.
Well, Sears is their business to me that I see are like lawnmowers and appliances. But
yeah.
I'm just saying they used to be big into clothes.
Right. I know a lot of people that are upset over the Craftsman situation that went down many years ago.
Ray, do you think this was an avoidable situation, or do you think it was just inevitable that some of these big box stores are just going to have to fade out?
You know, Amazon rules the world, right? I mean, how many people, among our listeners, do most of your shopping online even grocery shopping? Since we've moved here to Kansas City, we started shopping online with Walmart. And in fact, Marlene that's probably where she is right now. I can't even
You mean for your groceries?
That's right. Right. You go online and you have milk and all this other stuff.
Yeah. And then you go pick it up.
Yeah.
Then you go pick it up and they deliver it to you. You know, they put it in your trunk. They will not take a tip. It's unbelievably
convenient.
It's easy to do. So maybe Walker, it's just inevitable that world of the old days is just gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, had I done that, I could have avoided the self-checkout phobia thing altogether. It just went away without even being an issue. But, you know, the big box companies you talked about, I know Toys R Us closed now.
Right.
I mean, all of them, right?
Yes, it's gone.
I mean, that's kind of stunning to me.
It is.
I mean, given the amount of toys that children buy across America for birthdays and Christmas and everything else, I was just shocked that they closed, but they did close.
Yeah.
So, the point is you're saying Sears and Kmart, the same company, have another round of stores
46.
Closing, and it looks like they're headed for closure altogether.
Full closure, yeah. And that's what's interesting. You know, you talked about the Sears catalog. Sears was in its the 1800s. It was the Amazon,
right?
Because there was a guy who would pick. He would buy a rifle, or he would buy something, you know, dishes from the Sears catalog rather than going to the general store in town.
Right. Sure.
And here we are in the 21st century. Now Sears's problems predate Amazon. They've had problems going back years. Even taking on Kmart was an issue. Some people warned.
JCPenney's not setting the world on fire either.
It's not. But Dan, I've talked to Dan Celia in the not too distant past about JCPenney's situation. He said they started having problems before a lot of the other retailers, and they made adjustments, which is why you don't see as much woes from JCPenney because they've made some. They've done this and that to try to save
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. That's the name of the show, Today's Issues, here on AFR. I'm Tim with Walker, Chris, and Ray. We appreciate you listening. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We've had a lot of folks watching today on Facebook and YouTube. And so Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube. We have had some intermittent internet issues here that are not our fault, right, Walker?
That's right.
Those fixed?
I think for the most part we're back up and running on our website and on a social media page.
Next story, Chris.
All right. Medicare for all. That's the big thing that a lot of, independent Senator Bernie Sanders and Democrats that follow him continue to push. There is a poll out today. The Hill picked up on this. It finds 70% of Americans support Medicare for All in a new poll. I'm going to be following up on this with the Heritage Foundations and others that we've been interviewing. It's a Reuters Ipsos poll, and it found, again, 70% of Americans support single-payer or Medicare for All in a new poll. One of the things that Sanders and people that will follow him forever continue to say is that this is going to remove the headaches. You don't have to worry about enrolling. Everybody's going to get the same plan. You're going to tax this to pay for that. You can get your surgery, dental care, eye care, all sorts of things. My question to you guys is this. They say health care is a right. Do you guys think health care is a right?
Boy, Chris, thanks.
That's a tough one.
We got 5 minutes to answer a great moral question.
Well, what do you think about 70% of Americans then supporting Medicare?
Well, Medicare is the government paying for your medical treatment. True.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Well, to me, Americans are probably like me. We talk out of both sides of our mouth.
Yes.
You want to say that everybody should have access to medical care, regardless of how much it costs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Unless I'm a doctor, in which case I say I would like to be paid for my services,
right,
because
mm-hmm.
I did go to medical school for 8 years,
right,
and I've got $200,000 worth of debt,
at
so I'd like to. So I don't really want to have, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, that's why medicine is a different animal than any other commodity out there, if you want to call it that, Ray. It's just,
we
don't want to see people denied health care because they can't afford it. That's just,
well, in a sense, you know, if I could change the Christian word from right to obligation, that as part of a civilized society, we feel it's an obligation to provide access, keyword, right? Access to as good a health care as can be provided. The question is, doesn't it keep coming back to who's going to pay for this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why Americans are, we're for socialized medicine to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But we do, we do recognize, I think most Americans recognize, that if the government completely takes over the health care system in this country, the quality is going to go, mm-hmm. going to deteriorate greatly. And there is a price to pay. This is the part that nobody wants to talk about. Like Bernie Sanders mm-hmm. folks, they want to talk about, hey, free medicine for everybody. People shouldn't be denied medical care because they can't afford it. Well, that pulls the heartstrings mm-hmm. of even the most conservative of us mm-hmm. when we hear that, right?
Right.
What they don't is the you know, the small print. They don't say free health care for everybody. And then, oh, by the way, we'll tell you what doctor you go to.
Right.
Oh, by the way, we'll tell you when you're able to get in mm-hmm. to see that doctor. Oh, by the way, you know,
right.
we'll tell you whether or not we value your surgery enough to pay for it or not. Or maybe you're stage 4 cancer and you're just not going to get the treatment because
yeah.
you're not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? There's so many questions
yeah.
like that are not talked about.
And that's oftentimes what the knock against a lot of these surveys is this. It doesn't go into detail when it asks
right.
the question.
Right.
Here's what I think that – I do not think that health care is a right, like free speech and
it's
freedom.
It's not in the Constitution.
It's not. We in the founding documents, there's the mention of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think part of that pursuit of happiness is good health care and is good
sure.
health. But I don't think it's a constitutional right. And so that being said, I think the government offering things like Medicaid and Social Security, which who knows, I may end up using those services down the road when I retire. But I think those government-run services, at the end of the day, are not good. And these folks are forced to pay into them when they may not use them. So I think there's other options out there that could be better.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Ray, thanks for being on with us today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, Tim.
Chris,
thank
appreciate
you.
Your contribution to this program. Appreciate you throwing a great moral dilemma question at us.
Right, right.
Teachable
with,
moment.
With 3 minutes.
I'll know better
no
next
either.
Week.
No
I,
warning.
Yeah,
you got three
that's
minutes right. to answer this. Here, make half your audience mad. All right.
I think we handled it well.
Yeah, I think we did. We talked out of both sides of our mouth. Like good American
that's
politicians.
Right. That's right.
All right. Folks, have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio, and we appreciate you, and keep praying for our ministry here as we keep trying to spread the gospel and share the truth about what's happening in our country. Take care, everybody. Talk to you next time.